Well, good morning, everyone. It's great for you to join me today. I very much appreciate it. This evening, President Biden will give his first ever State of the Union address to Congress. Well, he will talk about some of the most pressing issues facing America. This year, we face a unique set of circumstances that our country has not ever seen before. One where our country is finally beginning to heal from the nearly 2 years of the worst global health crisis that we have seen in generations. The COVID-19 pandemic shut down our economy, threatened Main Street businesses, killed and infected thousands of individuals, and completely upended our society, leaving a lasting scar. Throughout these 2 years, the United States has risen to the challenge, with American innovation leading at the forefront of the fight with vaccines made by Americans for the betterment of the world. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, we now have three safe and highly effective FDA-approved COVID-19 vaccines as our prime weapon against the virus. Although we have tools to combat the disease, that does not reverse the immense damage done to our economy and the policies that were enacted that failed to put the United States first. In the 1 year since President Biden has assumed office alongside Democrat control of the House and Senate, America has been hit with the highest inflation rates in decades, supply chain issues that are keeping products off our shelves, heightened crime rates across the country due to the anti-police and defund the police movements across our country that threaten the safety of our communities, an ever-worsening border crisis where we've seen 2 million border apprehensions over the last year, one of the highest levels in history. And let me just say this, it's not the traditional border crossings, which were generally working age Mexican people looking for work. We have been notified by the border control that approximately 160 different countries are represented of people crossing the border from literally all over the world. We've also had ongoing school closures in many of our areas, many of our cities, that have damaged the ability for our children to be educated. And obviously that has been controversial. In addition, the Biden administration has instituted an unprecedented attack on American energy by stopping oil and gas leases on public lands, stopping pipelines, encouraging financial institutions to debank our fossil fuel industry, and it's ongoing. This has had a dramatic effect on the events that are happening now in Europe and the Ukraine. Inflation has gone up every single month, and now Hoosiers are paying for more everyday items, from food at the grocery store to rent. And in fairness, COVID has had a long standing effect on this. It's not to be taken lightly, the effect that COVID continues to have on this. In fact, some studies are showing that inflation is now costing the average American household over $250 a month, or over about $3,000 a year. The Consumer Price Index surged 7.5% over the past year, the highest since 1982, and higher than economists had predicted. Our nation is experiencing crippling supply chain crisis. And I was recently at the Port of Long Beach and Port of LA, and it is a very complicated problem that may take us a number of years to get through. We've seen shortages of semiconductors because those are almost exclusively imported. Also in the transportation sector, we've seen a lack of drivers and other transportation workers and huge backups, again, as I mentioned, at key ports, not only in the West Coast, but other areas of the country, preventing critical items from being delivered to the United States and also being exported to other parts of the world. Gas prices have increased 33% from this time last year, and Americans paying an average of $12 more to fill up their tank. Natural gas is 32% more expensive nationally, and in Southwest Indiana and West Central Indiana, energy costs are dramatically up, which for states like Indiana, you know, with this increase, where temperatures in the northern part of the state particularly reach below freezing, this threatens the lives and livelihoods of so many Hoosiers that are making the decision to choose food and medicine rather than their energy bills. U.S. households will pay between $700 and 1,700 more for heat this winter, and they have already, depending on where they live. And these numbers are staggering, and with the ongoing situation in Ukraine, President Biden honestly must abandon the assault on American energy and open up American energy, not only for prices, but for the geopolitical stance of the United States and the world. We need to say yes to American oil and natural gas production, open up pipelines and utilize North American energy resources, promoting energy jobs, production, and also exports of liquefied natural gas to our Eastern and Central European allies. Putin is in a good position in this area, in that area of the world, because they depend on Russian natural gas and oil. So Americans, I think, need more action from the administration. I'm looking forward to hearing what the president has to say tonight. But honestly, under the administration, Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats in Washington, I'm not confident that they'll pivot from the policies that primarily, I think, the far left in their party have been driving. That includes the crime situation with the Defund the Police movement, the Keep It in the Ground movement on American energy, and other issues. The prosecutors in our cities not prosecuting crimes, and the list is long. But honestly, there's a lot of opportunity, and I'm optimistic about the future. So with that, I'll take some questions. And so, Charlotte, let's go with the first question, if anyone has any.
So Ed Feigenbaum has chatted me. I guess he's having some issues with finding the raise your hand button. If you guys are having issues, it's on the toolbar next to breakout rooms. There's a button with a smiley face called reactions. And that's where it's located. But if you're having issues, you can just chat it to me and I can read out the question. Ed's question was, I'll just read it directly. It goes, yeah. Not seeing the raise your hand icon. So my question is about Rep. Spart's remarks at the House Republican Conference meeting this morning. Yes. And if you had any reaction to them.
Yeah. So Victoria Spartz, as people probably know, was born and raised in Ukraine and is a immigrant to the United States and a United States citizen. And a prominent person in the business community in the Indianapolis area, and now a representative from the 5th District. And her comments this morning were personal, some of them, so I'm not going to talk about those, but in a bigger picture, what she's hearing from relatives on the ground in the Ukraine is that the Russians are not necessarily fighting a war. They're trying to exterminate the Ukrainian people. So Putin is taking out his frustrations on private citizens, including women and children particularly, and are trying to suppress the Ukrainian military and Ukrainian citizens from fighting back by, in her view, committing war crimes against the citizens of the Ukraine. It was pretty emotional what she had to say. And this is directly from family and friends that are on the ground in the Ukraine. So the situation is very dire. Again, it's not just about fighting a military fight. They're actually killing civilians purposefully. And you may have seen there was a Twitter released from a Russian soldier to his family. He was subsequently killed, I guess, in the battle. That they were told that they would be welcome in Ukraine and seen as a liberating force from the Ukrainian government, but that he was surprised that they were being called fascists, and actually the Ukrainians didn't want them there. So the propaganda machine from the Russians, according to Victoria Spartz, is alive and well, and even their own military are getting false information about what's happening in the Ukraine.
Well, thank you. Looks like Chris is up next.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
All right, Congressman, I've heard you speak several times on the House floor or in committee meetings about inflation and about the problems that Hoosiers are facing because of inflation. What can the president say tonight that would satisfy your concerns about energy and about the prices that Hoosiers are paying right now?
Well, let me just say, and you've heard me say this at the outset, that globally, clearly the COVID pandemic has had a big effect on inflation. My point has been is that the policy, energy policies of the administration and the threat of tax increases and the increase in the regulatory climate has made it worse than it could have been and is not helping. So, you know, what I would like to hear from the president is that tonight is they've decided to change course on their view of American energy production and recognize that in the short run, you know, decreasing our dependence on Middle Eastern and Russian oil and natural gas, which we still import roughly 500 to 800 million barrels of Russian oil, about $75 million worth every day, my understanding is, you know, that we, in the short run, we're not going to be able to decrease our dependence on that by, you know, building more windmills and more solar energy. I mean, it's a timing issue. So I want to hear him recognize that even though all of us agree that we should continue to work towards a more carbon-free environment in the long run, in the short run, we're going to open up our American energy and we're going to use it geopolitically to help our allies in Eastern and Central Europe and put the clamps on Putin's ability to finance his activities using the revenue from energy production in Russia. And that's what I'd like to hear on the energy front. And, you know, I'm not optimistic because when they asked the White House about this, the White House spokesperson, she said that, well, we need to decrease our dependence on Russian oil by producing more renewable energy so we don't need the oil. Well, that could be very well a solution over time, but we're talking about in the next few weeks or months so that we can cut off the ability of the Russians to finance their activities in the Ukraine. So there's just a disagreement between, and it's honestly very philosophical in my view, and in the short run, at least, not practical to think that we're going to get rid of our dependence on our own energy and honestly in the short term imported energy by producing more renewable energy here. It's just not going to do anything. So I'm hoping to hear, but I'm not optimistic that that will change because their view is just different than mine.
Thanks, Chris. Next up is Mark.
Yes. Hi, Congressman. Hi, Congressman. Thank you for taking our questions and participating in this event. What do you think about the split in the Republican Party on the Russian invasion of Ukraine? It seems that there's a difference of opinion among your colleagues on how to approach this and how important it is, and specifically, how do you react to former President Trump's praise of Vladimir Putin in recent days?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not going to, you know, you have to call, if you want to know what President Trump said about Putin, I didn't see his comments personally. Second of all, I don't speak for a former president, so I'm not going to address that. You know, and the media wants to always equate one thing that someone says and try to get all the rest of us to comment. But, you know, I didn't see his comments, and you have to talk to former President Trump to see what his thoughts were on that. I certainly don't praise Putin myself. He's a brutal dictator of a country, and right now he's committing genocide probably in the Ukraine. You know, I don't see that there's a big divide in the Republican Party on Ukraine, I think, or in the country. I think the United States in both political parties and the American people recognize the fact that Ukraine's not a NATO member and that no one wants to put U.S. troops on the ground or in the air in the Ukraine. That said, you know, of course, we do have the libertarian-leaning crowd like Tucker Carlson, who believes that we should, you know, bring all our troops back into the continental United States and not have a presence in anywhere around the world, kind of like Ron Paul used to think. And yeah, they're technically in the Republican Party, but I think that's more of a libertarian view of the situation. As far as mainstream Republicans, I don't think there's a difference of opinion at all. I think we recognize that we need to defend our NATO allies, do what we can to help the Ukrainians defend themselves, and recognize the fact that, Vladimir Putin may very well not stop with the Ukraine and could potentially invade Poland or other NATO countries and have us prepared for that. So I don't see a divide in the Republican Party at all. I mean, you'll have individuals, again, with a libertarian slant that don't think we should do anything. But the vast majority, I think, of Republicans think that we're doing what we should be doing right now. We should have done it much earlier. That's the rift between the administration and, I think, House Republicans. But I don't think there's a divide at all. And again, because people out there say certain things, why don't you call Ms. Pelosi and ask her what she thinks when Ilhan Omar, makes anti-Semitic statements or anti-American statements. I don't see anybody asking that question. Or when President Biden makes a gaffe, I don't see anybody asking that question. So I'm not going to comment on a former president's comments, which are really irrelevant because he's not in office. Thanks for the question, though.
Chris, do you have another question?
I guess that was basically the thrust of what I was wondering today ahead of the State of the Union.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Does anyone else have any other questions?
If not, thanks everybody for participating. I very much appreciate that. I think that, we're at a critical juncture in our country because of the situation in Europe, from a geopolitical standpoint, but also, coming out on the other end of the pandemic, the supply chain and inflation situation is really a difficult one. I'm hopeful that we can get more agreement in Washington on what direction to take with that. But we'll have to see what the president has to say tonight. I mean, I think his speech will be much different than it would have been had the Russians not invaded the Ukraine. But there is broad disagreement about how to address some of our issues, particularly in the energy space in the United States. And, that's a fair discussion to have. And honestly, we'll see what the American people think come this November. So thanks everyone for participating, and reach out to Charlotte if you have any follow-ups. Thanks, Charlotte.
Yep. All right. And I just wanted to remind you all that I will be providing the recording of this after. And if you guys have any questions, please feel free to reach out. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Yep. Have a great day.
Thank you.